Today is Monday, the 26th of October. The time is 3:20 p.m. in the afternoon. Welcome. You are listening to the New and Old School Show, where we take it back in the days. Your host today is Alex Bichent on the New and Old School Show, is Alex Bichentaroth. And my guest I have here today is Aaron Evans?
Right? Aaron Davis.
Davis. Aaron Davis. Okay, Aaron Davis is a songwriter, and he works with a lot of people in the industry, and he's a music producer, and he's a musician, and he's a singer, right?
Yes, correct.
First, tell me a little bit about yourself.
Well, I've been doing, this music thing for about 15 years now. Started off coming out of college and had a four-guy group. Ended up getting a record deal with DreamWorks Records. And doing a little touring with Destiny's Child.
Wow.
And, did a lot of touring and stuff like that. And came to the point when I was like, okay, I'm loving what I'm doing. I'm singing. I'm, fame, fortune, all this type of stuff. And then I was noticing that a couple of other guys in my group was making a little more money than me. And I'm like, how is this? And I'm lead singing and stuff like that, but came to find out that they were writing some of the material, and I wasn't even paying attention to the writing. I'm like, if the song is hot, I'll sing it. You know what I mean? So that's when I really decided to become a songwriter.
Okay. What kind of music do you like?
Do I like?
Yes.
I like all types of music, man. It's like, there's really no bound to good music. I like pop, R&B, hip-hop, country, gospel, blues, jazz, progressive jazz, alternative. It's just, I like a lot of music, because there's a lot of good music out there.
Usually, some people have, like, three different ones, or there's one specific one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, when did you decide music was for you?
Well, kind of grew up in the church. My dad is a minister. And he's a singer as well, so he used to have me and my two brothers do background vocals for him at different churches and stuff like that. So at that time, I was like, it wasn't something I really embraced. It was just like, I'm the little guy hiding behind somebody with the biggest voice on the stage, what I mean? And I really didn't embrace it until college, when I figured, okay, I can make this as another career choice aside of what I was already aspiring to do.
What are some of the old school bands or solo artists are you inspired to?
Inspiration comes from, Al Green, Marvin Gaye. I even like some of the, up to more day, like the 112s, Brian McKnight's, Earth, Wind & Fire. It's a lot of music, but I listened to a lot of jazz growing up as well. It's like I used to try to emulate the instruments, the trumpets, the saxophones. I would try to mimic the sound with my voice, and I guess that ended up being like vocal training for me unknowingly.
Wow. Mm-hmm. How about the new? How do you aspire to any new artists now?
Honestly, I'm not really. I think the state of music right now is in a weird place because. I think what's lacking in musicianship right now is identity.
Wow.
When what I mean by that is, you could hear a song on the radio, and the first couple times you may hear it, you change the station.
Yeah.
And then after a while, it's like somehow subliminally they pump it so much into your head that you actually are singing along, and you're like realizing, I don't even like this song.
Yeah.
But it's like, they force feed some of the records, and I think there's just like I said, the identity is gone because you can't identify with a song saying that this is this artist's style.
Yeah.
When so many artists are doing the same type of styles.
I feel the same thing. I like the old school stuff. I love the old school stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I can really relate to all the old school stuff. But same thing for the new stuff. I feel the same thing for you. I don't like all kinds of music now, but I still listen to it and like jam to it because it's the thing right now for the new school.
Mm-hmm.
And growing up in the new school.
Right.
And old school.
Yeah, I completely understand that. It's not like the music does not like it sonically sounds bad, but like far as content, as far as a song that a record or something that you could hear that could possibly touch somebody or change someone's life or give you inspiration to do something that's positive, it's a lot of negative negative type of stuff that's out
like
there.
Like a lot of negative vibe.
And I'm trying to just bring it to back to the forefront of, you know, making good, clean, wholesome records that's going to last more than a year or a summer. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because like not just saying these, like the music that you hear on the radio now, that they're not going to, because the stuff you hear now, I feel like it's for now.
Right.
It's not for later in the years. Like,
it's just for here and now. Yeah. And what I mean by that is, say, like we said back in the day, when you heard a Michael Jackson record, you knew who it was. You knew his styling. When you heard a Prince record, you knew who it was. You knew his styling. When you heard a Marvin Gaye record. So the thing is, like, as far as the identity, like, people don't have their stamp on their music anymore. Yeah. And you wouldn't know who it is until they say, oh, Big Sean in the record or somebody. Gotcha. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know. I feel you. Because usually they didn't have to say Biggie because you know Biggie.
Right.
It's already Biggie.
Right.
And then you hear Tupac, it's Tupac.
Right.
Yeah.
So I think it's just a lack of creativity a little bit. You know what I mean? It's
just
it's like turn up tracks and they bang. You know, to hear them like that. Yeah. But it's like, you know, the content is not there. So.
Yeah, because it's just all about, right now, I think Eminem said this in one of his tracks. He said, like, it's all about the catchy hook and the catchy ass beat.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel that. I was like, oh, wow, that is kind of true now.
Well,
definitely.
Of course, you can start with a good, you know, banging track.
Of course.
And then you can come with some catchy chorus or hook that just stands out and, you know, does big things. But it's like nowadays, it's like, okay, well, what's this song going to be about? Oh, Egg Crate Wall. Okay, so let's say Egg Crate Wall 8 times, and then that's the hook. You know what I mean? So it's gotten real watered down, you know?
Yeah, I feel the same. Do you prefer male or female artists, or both?
I like both. You know, I don't think there's a really boundary on if it's a male or female. It's really about the voice. The voice is, it's like it... I feel like the music is supposed to touch you. It's supposed to inspire you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So if I feel something from it.
You're supposed to feel something.
Yeah. Like this new Adele record she just put out. I think it's called Hello.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. Like, I feel it, like, from the start. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It does something for me. And I want to be inspired by the music. You know?
Yeah.
So male or female, it doesn't matter.
What are some of your favorite female singers out there?
Female singers?
Yeah.
I like Adele.
Okay.
Of course, Beyonce, still holding it down. I like Kelly Rowland as well. Just shout out to Kelly. Just got a record placed on her called Details.
Ooh.
I like Rihanna. I think she's very innovative with her approach and her styling. You know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. What is your top five artists?
My top five artists out right now?
Like, all over.
Are you talking about all time, or are you talking about, like,
all
right
time.
Now?
All time.
That's very, very
Or
tough.
I can narrow it down to 10. Can you do 10?
10, and it wouldn't be in no particular order, I'll tell you that.
Okay, go ahead.
Top 10. I'm going to have to put Michael Jackson on top of the whole thing just because of what he did for his impact on the whole world. It wasn't just musically. It was just, like, he touched everybody, like, kind of like Michael Jordan did in basketball.
Yeah.
I would go with, let's see, King of Soul, James Brown.
Ooh,
one good
like
one.
That.
You know, and some of his music is the most sampled. His beats are some of the most sampled beats in hip hop to this day. Marvin Gaye, for sure. I like Brian McKnight. I like CeCe Winans. She's a gospel singer.
Ooh.
I like Philip Bailey. Let's see. Let's switch it up. I like Celine Dion.
Ooh. Okay.
Okay. You know, it's just a lot. It's a lot out there, man.
What kind of style do you prefer? Like, lyrics wise, soul, like really soul that you feel it, or you just. What do you prefer? Like your type of style that you prefer?
I don't think there's a particular style I like because I see the style that I like is very, it can be different and it varies, you know, from song to song. So I couldn't really say, oh, I'd love like a prolific lyrical song because some of them may not be the most prolifically lyrical, but they may be sonically on point. Like the melodies may just be ridiculous, so I'm like, I just love how that feels, you know what I mean?
I feel it.
Even though you're not really saying that much.
Yeah.
But yes, yeah, it varies for sure.
I do you enjoy bands, like live bands or like digital? Because I know I heard that you do digital music too.
Yeah, it depends. Like I do live stuff, I do digital. It depends on, like as a songwriter, I do whatever is needed for the project. For instance, okay. like mostly it's going to be stuff that's syncopated, you know, on the computer or what have you. But me personally, like perform-wise, I love to be with a live band. Like that's my favorite thing. Like I just love being with a band. It's like there's nothing like that ever.
Especially now, because it's digital now.
Yeah, and it's like there's not even that many artists that you can be like, oh, would you pay $100 to go see this artist? Like, I couldn't name two artists that I would pay to go watch perform.
Wow.
I'm just saying, like, that's just me because I do this, and I expect a show. I expect when I go to a show that I'm gonna get the same type of feel that I got from the record. And when you don't hear it, it's kind of disappointing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like you go to a show and you're like, dang, that sounds nothing like what I fell in love with, which is why I bought a ticket.
That's a lot of songs out here, too.
Yeah.
That's really a lot of songs. Because, like, back in the day, you just jam to any, like, jam because everybody's just putting out really good stuff.
Right.
And even better on stage. Mm-hmm. They're, like, putting out the vibe out there. And then now it's like, yeah, they give you the vibe to like jam and all that, but right. it's still like, oh, okay, yeah, I can get into this.
But you're like, was that all computer generated on your vocals? You know what I mean? So it's like, it's hard to really want to go spend money to me. You know, people that are making good money are people that actually are up there really singing, up there really playing. They're really musicians, like Taylor Swift, for instance.
Oh, okay.
She plays, you know what I mean? And she writes her own songs, so that's why she really connects with the audience and with her lyrics and her songs, because she's writing about her own experiences, and people feel that. And that's why she makes $1 million a day.
Because she writes her songs, she produces her songs, and she does the whole thing.
She's connecting with her audience on a lot of levels, so she's winning.
Yeah. Who are your favorite producers?
Producers, right now I'm gonna have to go with the flamethrowers right now, because my camp and myself, we've been working with them for about a couple months now. We've already like gotten 5 or 6 placements, and we're just knocking stuff out. So Flamethrowers, Rodney Jerkins, Timbaland, Teddy Bishop, Brian Michael Cox, just to name a few.
Let's skip ahead a little bit. Does digital take away from the music? Take it away?
I don't think so. I think it really just depends on what you do on top of it. If it's over, you know, unless it's overproduced, like over synthesized, I think that day and time is kind of falling by the wayside, because we're probably looking for a little bit more vulnerability in songs. You know, if it's too digital, it's like you. It's too manufactured. Now it loses that human element.
Yeah, because obviously you're an artist too, and I'd like to see like all artists just, like put out like raw music out there, like what they feel, because most of them just obviously they see what they see and it's preached out what they see every single day.
Right.
But I feel like as a person and just. Not knowing how that looks and how that feels, you just want to like feel the same way they feel, but
right,
yeah,
that's true.
Like for hard times, you have to feel the hard times. You like good times, you're like, oh yeah,
you want to be able to relate. Yeah. You know, you play some song, or say you're just going through something and you're on your way home from school or work or what have you, and then this song comes on, it just like totally explains what you're feeling at that moment. Yeah. It's like a moment in time, you know what I mean? That's what songs and music is supposed to do to people. It's supposed to be thought-provoking like that, and it's supposed to speak to your soul, you know?
Oh, yeah. It's supposed to do that. I feel like music lost their touch from that.
Yeah.
Like a little, like, not a lot. Yeah. Actually, a lot, actually, now.
Mm-hmm. Because it's just a manufactured sound, and then, you know, since a lot of the labels are not making as much money as they used to since the outpouring of the you know the whole boom with the internet stuff.
Oh yeah.
And how it's so easy for someone to have a song that's just a good song and then market it, you know, online and do a few things to blow it up without even having to have the engine of the labels. So now they're looking for those quick singles, something they could just make some money on real quick.
Of course, they're trying to make their money too. Yeah. Not knocking them on that. And you dance, right?
I cut a little.
Wow, that's pretty good. I like it. Yeah. Did you choreograph?
No, I never choreographed. I just, you know, when I was in my group, we were with one of the top choreographers, Dave Scott, who did a lot of stuff for like B2K, Sierra, and a bunch of other people. So he had us, you know, in the rehearsal for like 4 hours a day dancing. So when I was doing it, yeah, we were doing our thing.
Okay. How about did you work with like the 2-inch disc? Like the two inch.
I've been in the studio with 2-inch before. Yeah, I've heard that analog sound. It's pretty incredible, actually. It's a little bit more clean.
Really?
To be honest with you. Yeah, it's a little more clean. And then also, you know, since it's 2-inch, it's not like you can be like, all right, stop there, go back and a little bit. But you can.
Yeah, you gotta
but at the same time, it's not like now you're like, oh, you know, cut that or delete that and let's do it again right there. It's like you had to really kind of be on point to go through, you know, the whole take.
Yeah. I know you've been like, what is your proudest moments like performing on tour? Because I know you've been on tour. And
Proudest moments on tour. I would say one of my best moments on tour was Anchorage, Alaska. We did a show out there opening up for Destiny Child. And this was my first really experienced touring. Mm-hmm. That was our first show on tour. And it was just really cool because our label had sent out a few of our songs out to the radio stations out there. So unknowingly, they were playing our records out there. So like when I'm up there performing, it was like the fans are singing along. And I'm like, how are you singing along? Like, how have you even heard these songs yet? You know what I mean? So that was like just a very revealing moment. Like, dang, like I'm actually doing this, you know? Yeah, real cool.
I know you, do you enjoy filming your stuff?
As far as like what podcasts or what?
Like, I don't know, you just enjoy like filming your like music videos or anything like that stuff.
Oh, I mean, I've done a few videos. It's cool. You know, it's always a good experience because you go from, like anything from the start to the finish line, you know? So it's like being able to create an idea, conceptualize, what the music is going to be, what the song is going to be like, what the melodies are, record it, and then visualize what the video is going to look like. So to have that, you know, come to fruition is real cool. It's a cool process.
How do you feel about like autotune? Do you enjoy it, or do you think it sounds horrible with like the artists now?
No, I'm not mad at autotune as long as it's not abused and overused. Oh. You know what I mean? It's like I don't like the kind of autotune like Kanye West autotune. Like, you're not a singer. Like, stop singing songs with autotune like you just sound great. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I just don't like that type of stuff. But I mean, I use autotune like when I'm like cutting like demos and stuff like that. It's just a guideline to help get through the records. It's not like it takes away from the vocal, because if you don't abuse it or use it too much, otherwise you're gonna sound just too much computerized.
How about your experience from like writing? Is it was there a good spot? There was a good time and there was a bad time.
Yeah, for sure. I would say the bad time came when I first started trying to write, because I really, you know, didn't understand the concept of how do you make a whole song yourself? Like, how do you make put melodies together and then tell a story and make it make sense and then make a chorus and a verse? Like, I didn't understand how to do it. So it took a while for me to just actually, I went into a shell for like 2 years after I got out of my group, and my buddy had a studio in Lakewood, and he's like, just come by and I'm going to show you how to engineer.
Okay.
And you can just stay here all night. I'll give you the keys and you can just do whatever you want all night. So I was, for 2 years, I would go there every day and I recorded myself every day and just made songs, and I just wouldn't let nobody hear it until I felt like I was ready.
I say this at every show. What do you prefer, the old school or the new school?
I mean, I'm definitely leaning towards the old school for sure. You know, I want some sustenance. I need something to hold on to, something to stick to my bones, you know?
Well, does a new artist just kill your motivation?
I wouldn't say kill it. You know, it just gives me a starting point kind of to want to reach out to some of the new artists just to, you know, let them hear some other stuff that they can incorporate into their music that makes it a little bit more long lasting. You know, not just here today and going tomorrow.
I feel. Well, Aaron, thank you for, I love you for coming through. Thank you for so much for coming.
All good.
Where can they find you? Oh. All right. never mind. Really, thank you so much for coming through.
Oh, yeah, it's all so good, man. It's like,
for I love talking doing to stuff me like this, and yeah. People who's listening.
Yeah.
Where good. Can they find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Where's AD, IG Where's AD. Let's see, SoundCloud Where's AD. I'm going to have a new website coming out called The Writer House. I'm going to be posting up all the records I've been writing for other artists and stuff like that being released and stuff like that. Okay. So, yeah.
Please follow him. Please try to find him, please. And this is Alex on the new and old school show, shining out. Later, y'all.
All right, y'all.